Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. You have to be aware of yourself. So I'm actually going to start this Easter sermon by saying something I've never said from the pulpit on an Easter Sunday. And that is, I got word that there are a couple of cars blocking a truck at the gas station. Did you get that right, Kevin? I think they're actually the Episcopalian Church's problem. I don't, but if you happen to be driving a car that you parked at the gas station, apparently their supply of gas can't get in. So anyway, he has risen. Dearly beloved, I like sharing Easter Sunday with you because I know that when I say Christ is risen, I'm telling you, you got to be on your toes. When I say Christ is risen, what I mean by that ancient Easter greeting and what you mean by it may or may not be the same thing. Some of us at Montclair Presbyterian Church believe the biblical stories of Jesus' resurrection are more or less accurate, and as such, they place a wonderful and beautiful miracle at the historical center of salvation history. Others of us read the stories as a metaphor, a religious articulation of a truth we experience all the time in the natural world. The sun rises after the darkest part of the night. The tides ebb and flow. The full moon returns each month, and spring blossoms after the cold of winter has done its best to rob us of our memories of summer, those languid days when we walked around in jorts and unironed linen shirts, and we cooked unhealthy food out on the grill, listening to baseball on the radio as the Giants stumbled somewhat aimlessly towards another World Series ring. Even in California, where we are in an historic drought, winter has tried to rob us of that joy. But Christ is risen.
He is risen.
And whatever you believe about what actually happened on that first Easter long ago, my prayer is that you will live a life that is touched by Easter today. Whether you think Easter's power is tied to an historical event, or if you believe it's a beautiful metaphor, or if you're somewhere in between, or if you have no idea what to think, my prayer is that you will be filled with newness of life. Don't despair for the darkness of the night, because surely the morning will dawn with joy. Don't worry for the waves that threaten to dash you against the rocks, because the tides will change. Take heart as you long for the warmth of summer, because the winter's days are numbered. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
What I can't promise is that resurrection will be uncomplicated, entirely stress-free, or without challenge. Nothing ever is. And that's why I love the story of Easter as it's recorded in the passage of Mark's gospel that Shelley just read for us. The other gospel writers were more conventional in their storytelling. They used the resurrection as an opportunity to form a final chapter in the story of Jesus' life. Matthew and Luke used the resurrection as a time for Jesus to send his followers off into the world as evangelists. John gives Jesus and Peter the opportunity to make up and restore their relationship. But not Mark. Mark's version of the story, which among the Gospels was written first, Mark's version has Mary, the mother of Jesus, Salome, the mother of James and John, and Mary Magdalene heading together to Jesus' tomb, which they find empty, except for an angel who says, "Jesus no longer is dead, and would you please go tell his disciples that he is risen." Let's try that again. Would you please go tell his disciples that Christ is risen?
He is risen.
There you go. And the women, understandably, are kind of freaked out. And they run away. And they don't say anything to anyone. And that's it. That's where the story ends in Mark. In later years, various scribes, while copying the gospel, proposed alternate endings for Mark, but the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of Mark have the story end with an empty tomb and terrified women. Jesus makes no appearance. There's no seaside breakfast, no encounter with Mary and Jesus in the garden, no miracle on the road to Emmaus, no great commission. Mark just ends. And I like that. I like it because it's a reminder that even good news can be scary. And it suggests that in this journey of Christian spirituality, resurrection is good news, but it's not simple good news. Like all of life, resurrection is complicated. Sure, spring follows the winter, but if that's the case, then the resurrection means we have to plow the fields and plant seeds. Sure, the morning follows the night, but the morning brings with it responsibilities for work and relationships and finding solutions to our problems. Low tide may follow the high, but the ebb tide is the best time to launch a boat. With resurrection comes responsibility. And whether that responsibility involves going to tell the disciples that Jesus' tomb is empty, or it means making peace with your neighbor whose dog keeps digging holes in your tulip bed, the responsibility of resurrection is not easy. Christ is risen. I don't know what responsibilities will fall on you when resurrection touches your life. Maybe the renewal of Easter will mean deepening your relationships with a spouse or a partner or a sibling or a friend. Maybe the resurrection, with all that it means for newness of life, will inspire you to dedicate your life to creating beauty in the world through art or music or the preservation of creation. Maybe you'll write poetry. Maybe you'll dance. In Scotland, my friends are marking this resurrection weekend by marching in protest of the Trident missiles, which were designed here in the Bay Area and which the United Kingdom has placed just up the River Clyde from Glasgow. Closer to home, maybe the living God will call you to take to the streets to agitate and organize and ask why the United States has a higher percentage of African American males incarcerated than were imprisoned in apartheid South Africa. Maybe the resurrection will inspire you to start learning about and talking about issues that surround homelessness or income inequality or unequal funding for education in California. Maybe the resurrection will cause you to relearn the simple and joyful art of laughter. It's never easy to live a life that has been marked by the miracle of resurrection. It's not easy, but dearly beloved, it is good. It is good because when springtime inspires us to plant seeds for fall's harvest, when the morning calls us into a day's work, when the ebb tide inspires us to set off on an adventure, our lives are made rich and meaningful. In us, the resurrection becomes something productive and positive, not just an abstract happiness connected to an event reported to have happened a long time ago and halfway around the world. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
May this good news touch you in such a way that you are called forth into a life filled with hope and joy and meaningful action, as together we seek to make Christ's life felt as far as the east is from the west, as far as day is from the night, and as far as the cold of February is from the warmth of August. Dearly beloved, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen and amen.